First reading is taken from Psalm chapter 50, verses 7 to 15, and then verse 23. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I do not reprimand you because of your sacrifices and the burnt offerings you always bring me. And yet I do not need bulls from your farms or goats from your flocks. All the animals in the forest are mine, and the cattle on thousands of hills. All the wild birds are mine, and all the living things in the fields. If I were hungry, I would not ask you for food, for the world and everything in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Let the giving of thanks be your sacrifice to God, and give the Almighty all that you promised. Call to me when trouble comes. I will save you, and you will praise me. Giving thanks is the sacrifice that honours me, and I will surely save all who obey me.
This morning's New Testament reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there was a man who was about to go on a journey. He called his servants and put them in charge of his property. He gave to each one according to his ability. To one, he gave 5,000 gold coins. To another, he gave 2,000. And to another, he gave 1,000. Then he left on his journey. The servant who had received 5,000 coins went at once and invested his money and earned another 5,000. In the same way, the servant who had received 2,000 coins and another 2,000. But the servant who had received 1,000 coins went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The servant who had received 5,000 coins came in and handed over the other 5,000. "You gave me 5,000 coins, sir," he said. "Look, here are another 5,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had been given 2,000 coins came in and said, "You gave me 2,000 coins, sir. Look, here are another 2,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had received 1,000 coins came in and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man. You reap harvests where you did not sow, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I went off and hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you." "You bad and lazy servant," his master said. "You knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not sow, and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have deposited my money in the bank, and I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. Now, take the money away from him, and give it to the one who has 10,000 coins. For to every person who has something, even more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing, even the little that he has will be taken away from him. As for this useless servant, throw him outside in the darkness. There he will cry and grind his teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for the inspiration, the encouragement, and the challenge that it brings to our lives. Lord, we pray by your Spirit you will open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Help each one of us to hear exactly what you want to say to us and to be ready to act and be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you got an opportunity to go to the Olympics in 2012 when it was in London? Wow, quite a lot. Feels like ages away now, doesn't it? At the London Olympics, following his second gold medal, the Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt famously tweeted these words. I'm going to put it on the screen so you know that I'm not misreading it. He said, "I want to thank God for everything he has done for me, because without him, none of this wouldn't be possible. I want to thank God for everything he has done for me, because without him, none of this wouldn't be possible." Now, although his grammar may be a little distracting, and I think was quite a cause for conversation, in actual fact, if you know anything about Usain Bolt, it's very clear what he meant. Usain Bolt was publicly declaring his gratitude to God for the immense gift that he had been given. And that, in many ways, is the beginning of stewardship, acknowledging the ways in which God has blessed us and giving thanks to him as we try to reach our potential. Here at Central Baptist Church, we have agreed that our vision is to equip God's people to make a difference wherever they are. And over the past 2 years, this statement has had a missional edge to it. Together, we've looked at how we can make a difference by demonstrating the love and compassion of Jesus, learning how to be fruitful on our front line. We've sought to have a better understanding of Jesus and the culture in which we live, so that we can learn how to speak relevantly about him. And we did that by considering some of the statements that Jesus made about himself as he began, "I am," and then thought about those implications in our postmodern culture. This time last year was quite a significant event in the life of our church, because it was around this time that we had our big day in. During that day, and in the times afterwards, we were reflecting on what God was saying to us as a church. And we believed that God was challenging us to have a greater understanding of who he is, and therefore increasing our faith and our expectancy in him. And this led us to focus our teaching on understanding who Jesus is through the book of Hebrews, followed by a series on who the Holy Spirit is, and then time discovering more about the character of God as revealed through his encounters with people in the book of Genesis. That's kind of a flavour of what we believe God has been saying to us. But at the start of this new year, I believe God is challenging us in a different way, perhaps in an even more personal way. During this term, we're going to be considering how we make a difference with the whole of our lives through living a life of stewardship. Now, stewardship is not necessarily a word that is familiar outside of church. The Oxford English Dictionary defines stewardship as the job of supervising or taking care of something, such as organisation or a property. We may encounter stewards at different events, perhaps at a football match or a rock concert. A steward is described as a person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or estate, or a person employed to look after passengers on a ship or an aircraft or a train, or an official appointed to supervise arrangements and keep order at a large public event. These descriptions show a picture of a person of responsibility, someone who has a role to play, someone that has a certain amount of authority. We see the same kind of idea depicted in the parable that Jesus told of the three servants. Their master, we heard, was going on a journey. And verse 14 tells us the servants were put in charge of his property. This wasn't an unusual thing in this story. This was something that Jesus' listeners would have been quite familiar with. Now, Jesus said that each one of the servants was given a large sum of money according to his ability. And a very long time later, the master returned. And he discovered that two of the servants had invested the money wisely, while the third servant had done nothing with what he'd been given except hide it in the ground. The first two servants, although they both ended up with different amounts, were both described as good and faithful servants, and they were rewarded greatly. The third servant had his money taken away and was thrown out. Now, this story was one of a number of stories that Jesus told around the time that he entered Jerusalem before his death, on the day that we now call Palm Sunday. At this time, there'd been a lot of speculation about Jesus being the Messiah and coming to reign. People had been asking him questions. And now the disciples were asking him questions. What's going to happen, they said, to show that it's the time for your coming and it's going to be the end of the age? Now, in response to that question, this story was part of the answer. Through the story, Jesus wanted to get his followers not to focus on when these events would take place, but on how they were to live in the meantime. He was encouraging them to be faithful to him, to have confidence in the hope that he knew his death and resurrection would bring, and to persevere, to live up to their potential and live their lives serving him. As we reflect on the story, we know that Jesus told parables for a reason. And it's important to understand what the coins represent in that story. Jesus wasn't just telling his disciples to be wise with their money, although that is an element to it. The key is that the servants were given responsibility by their master. They were to be stewards of his property, managing what he'd given them, bringing out the best from it. When the Good News Bible uses the word coins, other, perhaps better translations use the word talents. Now, a talent was a weight, and that weight later became a unit of money. So it's with that idea that the Good News uses the word coins. If we heard the word talents today, it reminds us of our understanding of a talent, namely a gift or an ability. And a lot of people would say that Jesus is really talking about our gifts and our abilities. A bit like we saw with Usain Bolt, is Jesus encouraging us to recognise our talents and do the best with what we have. But other commentators suggest that Jesus' story was actually directed at the Pharisees. And the coins, or the talents, are there to represent God's word. Now, the Pharisees were religious teachers who'd preserved God's law, but in doing so, they'd made it inaccessible to other people. The Pharisees wanted a religion without change, without any element of risk. And the way that they acted religiously, they didn't use their responsibility very well. So what's the answer then? Was Jesus talking about God's word and the law? Was he talking about acting responsibly with the message of God's kingdom? Was he saying God's truth should be known, understood, and shared, not hidden? Or was he talking about our talents, our gifts, our abilities? Or was he talking about money? Or was it something else? I would suggest the answer is yes, 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 and yes. Yes, and so much more. Yes, I think God was talking about money and gifts and talents and his word and the truth of the kingdom. But in fact, Jesus is encouraging us to live wisely and make the most of our potential in every aspect of our lives, because the whole of our lives are a gift from God. In the psalm that we read earlier, the psalmist reminds us that everything belongs to God. In challenging the people of Israel to bring true, authentic worship, he said in verse 8, I do not command you because of your sacrifices and the burnt offerings you always bring me. And yet, I do not need bulls from your farms or goats from your flocks. All the animals in the forest are mine, and the cattle on thousands of hills. All the wild birds are mine, and all living things in the field. If I were hungry, I would not ask you for food, for the world and everything in it is mine. In other words, as God is the creator of the entire universe and everything that exists, all that we have and all that we are is because of God and his goodness to us. It all belongs to him. Usain Bolt was right when he acknowledged God's goodness after he'd just won another Olympic medal. But that is just the beginning. When we start to grasp that every good thing we have is because of God, then we can begin to be truly grateful. More than that, our gratitude to God changes our perception and our expectations as we recognize all that God has blessed us with and the responsibility he's given us to manage wisely what he has entrusted to our care. And that includes everything, every aspect of life. Yes, our gifts, yes, our money, but our relationships, our time, our world and creation, everything we are and everything that we have. And that is basically the principle of stewardship. It's learning to live in such a way that expresses our obedience and our devotion to God, and choosing to take responsibility to enable us to reach our potential. God has appointed each one of us as stewards in his world. From the very beginning, when humankind was created, God gave them responsibility over the rest of his creation. And we can read all about that in Genesis chapter 1. God has blessed us in so many ways. But when Jesus was telling his story, he was reminding his disciples and us that he's also given us a responsibility to use wisely everything he's given to us. He wanted us all to live in a way that made us ready for his return and that made the most of every second that we were waiting. So often we can see waiting as a waste of time, can't we? Now, I have to confess, I'm not very good at waiting. Some of you have seen me queuing at the bank, sometimes on the phone or sending a text message, because I have to multitask, because waiting seems a waste of time. Sitting in the traffic, I'm not a patient driver. And when I'm waiting to hear my name being called 30 minutes after my appointment is due, I'm not normally smiling. I don't have time for it. I'm not very good at waiting. But when Jesus challenges his disciples to be ready in this story, this is not to be seen as a time of waiting passively. Instead, it's a time of responsible activity, a time where we can produce results which the coming master can see and then approve. Waiting is not an empty, meaningless delay. It's a time full of opportunity. And as such, we should learn to prioritise wisely. Now, you cannot fail to notice in that story that Jesus told a very different response that the servants received from the master. Two of them were commended and rewarded with more, whilst the third lost all that he'd been given and was thrown out. Sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus wanted to make it clear that there are consequences to the way in which we live our lives. This isn't a story about good stewardship that is trying to tell us if we invest well and use wisely what we have, then we'll always get a good return and we'll always be blessed. There's a clear eschatological influence in this story, which means the story is focused on Jesus' eventual return and ultimate reign. And it reminds us that every single one of us is accountable to Jesus. But that doesn't mean to say that we should live our lives in fear or feeling that we should constantly sacrifice all we have, giving away everything that we've been blessed with, lest we end up feeling guilty of not living for God. You see, the third servant has totally misunderstood his master when he said he's a hard man. It didn't seem like the picture of a hard man when we saw how he responded to the first two servants. God is a generous God. He's not mean or hard-hearted. He's a loving God, but he is a just God. And as we consider how to be good stewards and live wisely, we also need to remember that Jesus said he came to bring us life and life in abundance. God's a God of creativity. He wants us to enjoy the good things that he's given to us. But in order for us to get the best out of life, in order for us to truly reach our potential, we need to learn how to prioritize in every aspect of our life. Now, this may feel like a very daunting thing. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking more specifically at different areas of our life and beginning to unravel what this might look like. But today, as we think about prioritise and just give an overview of what stewardship is, I want us just to remember that being good stewards impacts everything. It impacts everything that we've been given. Our money, our possessions, our time, our relationships, our friends, our family, all that we are and all that we have. And what God says to us is often different for each one of us because we have different things, just like the servants were given three different amounts in the beginning. But we are all called to respond in obedience to God. It's not like there are different parts of our life that are more important than others, that we have to get our work out the way or get our responsibilities with the children sorted so we can focus on what God wants us to do with the rest of our time. Everything we have belongs to God. And every responsibility that we have with family, with friends, with work, with responsibilities at church are things that God has given to us. And every one of them is as valuable as the other. I really believe that the only way that we can learn to live a life in stewardship to God is to learn to live a life in constant conversation with God so that he can guide us in every decision that we make. The parable that Jesus told encourages us to know Jesus personally and to live our lives obediently out of love as we learn to trust in him. You see, this is where the third servant got it so wrong. It wasn't uncommon at the time for people to hide valuable things in the ground for safekeeping. That was an okay thing to do. But his explanation as to why he did that showed that actually he had no meaningful relationship with the master. If he had have done, he would have known what he was truly like. And in his story, Jesus is reminding us that mere association counts for nothing. It's not enough to say you know who the master is. What matters is relationship. Thinking back to the psalm that Hilary read for us again, God wasn't upset with the sacrifices that the people were offering to him. If they were used as a means of worshipping him and came from a heart that was devoted and came from a place of trust in him, then they were acceptable. What God didn't like was the sacrifices being used as a way of trying to buy his goodwill or as a kind of religious security, which enabled them just to live their lives in the way that they pleased, thinking they'd done their bit for God. The sacrifices were set up to be an expression of their love for God and to show that they trusted him. In an earlier psalm, the writer had declared, "To obey is better than sacrifice." That's not because God wants a bunch of slaves who will do exactly what he says. It's because true obedience and true worship comes from knowing God personally and trusting in him to guide us through the whole of life so that we truly get the best out of it. It's learning to trust God through those difficult days when we can't feel his presence, and yet when we can still have confidence in who we know him to be. How can we know what to do in every circumstance if we do not stop to ask him? How can we make the right choices and prioritize the right things at each moment in our life if we don't know his heart and we're not listening for his guidance? Our love and our trust of Jesus is shown in the way that we live every aspect of our life. It's not just about church activity. It's about living up to our potential and using everything we have in every single moment in the way that Jesus wants us to. And then being able to enjoy the life in abundance that he promises to us. And so at the start of this new series, and pretty much the start of the new year, I want to encourage every single one of you to take some time today if you can, but if not during the week ahead, to reflect on the many ways that God has blessed you. To remember that all that you are and all that you have is because of him. And then to ask him to show you how he wants you to reach your potential. To allow that to become a journey that you live week by week, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. So that as best we can, we are getting our priorities right and learning to trust him more and more every second of our lives. Let's pause and take a moment to allow God to speak to us individually, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we've already sung today that we are grateful for everything you have given to us. And we know that it's so easy for us to take your goodness, your generosity, your kindness for granted. Lord, I pray for each one of us that you will help us to recognize and appreciate the many ways that you have blessed us. That you will help us to draw closer to you, to discern your voice, to understand the way that you are leading us, knowing that the priorities that you are giving to us may well be different to the priorities that you're giving to others, because our lives are different. Our circumstances are different. We're perhaps in a different season of life. But Lord, our heart's desire is to follow you, Lord, we want to be faithful to you in every circumstance. And we want to allow you to continue by your Spirit to transform us, to enable us to fulfill your purpose for us, and to help us to make a difference for you, seeing your kingdom grow and your name being glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.